Father in heaven, we thank you again for this wonderful day, Lord, and thank the Lord that now this world is full of troubles and trials and heartaches, and every day and every week we meet people with them. Many times we're engulfed ourselves in this world by it, and so it is good. Laughter is good medicine, you said, and we thank you for that. And yet on the other hand, we know it's sad this world is laughing themselves to hell because they're laughing at the wrong things. Lord, we're so grateful to know that our laughter is pure, and thank you for that pure heart you give us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to enjoy each other's company. Now we come to open this precious book again. Never let us open it thinking we have it ourselves. We depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to help us in that which we need, not necessarily what we want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn first with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read down a few verses at the end of that chapter 2 and into verse 1, and then go to 2 Corinthians just a moment, and then we'll give you the title and the message. If you look here, Paul's given descriptions of all that happens when we get born into the family of God. He teaches us how the Spirit of God, our spirit is quickened, and so to speak, to understand spiritual things. He lets us know that when things... Also, we speak not, instead, verse 13, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and you could say things. Now, it's obvious we understand that God is teaching us here that when it comes to what he wants us to understand, he talks about spiritual things, which in turn comes with the new creation, and that will help govern physical things in life if we will apply it to our lives and obey what the Lord has to say. He's showing the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man in these few verses. But I want to look in verse 14, because that leads into the subject as we get into chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Then he says, when he said that, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is the unregenerate man. The natural man is the man that's born physically into this life and has a dead spirit. Even though the blood of Christ, I believe, and I really believe this, the blood of Christ protects a baby that's innocent, called a baby that has nothing to do with his life. He hadn't had a chance, or she hadn't even had a chance to make any kind of decision, but try to live until they begin to learn. But we know there comes an age of accountability. So he's talking about a lost person that comes into this world, born of a woman, in the sense that they have been born physically, but they're dead spiritually. Even though... And I say again, I believe the blood of Christ can protect them until they come of age, because God is a merciful God. He gives us a chance to make decisions about life by understanding certain things, and then he does the work for us when we accept the record of God's Son. So he said, the natural man receives not the things of God. Why? Because in between the line, for that natural man, he said, for they are foolishness unto him. In other words, you come talking about a God you can't see, the God of spirit, a natural man born into this world. He sees the elements around him and what goes on in life. And you begin to talk about a life beyond this life, unless you talk about outer space or something. And talk about aliens from another planet, he might zero in on that a little bit. We talk about spiritual things, though. It's foolish to a natural man. It never will make sense to a natural man. And then he goes on and he said, neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Not only is it foolish in him, but he can even begin to visualize in his heart what it's like, because God said, my message is a spiritual message from a spiritual world. We understand that Jesus was by the woman, a Samaritan woman by the well. He told her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so he lays his premises out that the natural man receive not the things of God, the foolish unto him, you can know them, they're spiritually discerned. But watch. But he that is spiritual judges all things, verse 15. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now that's what you hear me say so many times. My judgment is I have no right to judge anybody. I'll be honest with you, because I don't know everything about that individual. But I do have a right to look at the outward manifestation of that person and judge that I don't do what they do if they're doing what I know God says is wrong. So again, it's judging the fruit of a person, not necessarily judging them as an individual, but you're judging the fact, if I know it's a scripture and that person does not, or maybe thinks it does and does not, that I'm going to obey God rather than what I see. And that's what we're saying about making judgment. Make judgment that we don't do what a person does if a person is doing something that's against God. And so then he goes on, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? I think anybody would be foolish to think you can instruct God, because he knows everything, and we always know in part. We never have everything together completely. But he said, watch this, but this is what really blesses my heart and yet puzzles me. We have the mind of Christ. Now, to have the mind of Christ is an amazing thing, folks, because Jesus Christ never did displease the Father. He never committed one sin. So it must mean that he's telling us this new creation that we've been born into, we have a potential to learn and know what God is pleased with, and the mind of Christ is what's revealed to you and I by the Spirit as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So he tells us what the natural man is and what we have potential to see when we trust Christ as Savior. Then he goes into verse chapter 3. Of course, we know when this was written to begin with. It didn't have verse in the chapter. It just read smoothly through. But he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto... Now watch this word. I, brethren. Paul is talking to born-again Christians here. I, brethren, notice this, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. In other words, he laid a principle here that I have things to say, but I cannot go so far, because as babes in Christ, you will never get it until you get out of the playpen and get into the world in the sense of trusting God and experiencing how God works in one's heart and in life. And then he says, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. And we see that's Hebrews 5, when he talks about that we are to get off the milk of the word, which is the first principle of God's word, and get on the meat of the word. And therefore, when that person begins to take on the meat of the word, he's beginning to grow to be used of God in his hand. But no baby would ever be used, even a child of God who stays a baby in Christ will be used, because there'd be so much conflict in life, they will not know how to get the victory over it to be used of God. Sometimes because of situation, they may be led the wrong way, because it's very easy to follow the wrong person unless you know who you're following to start with. And so he says this, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. He says you were not able to bear it, and you're not able to bear it now. So I've got to deal with you with tender gloves. I've got to deal with your tender hand. I've got to see to it to get you on the milk enough so you begin to respond to, so you can move off the milk of God's word and get on the strong. The milk of God's word is the basic things about being saved. Learning that you're born again in the family of God. Have no doubt about that. But then when you get that settled, you move on to the next phase of being asking God, what is your will for my life? The first thing, the will of his life, that we'd be saved. And once we come to know Christ as Savior, then we find he has a will in the family of God to put us in positions that we see the family of God working as he is ahead. And then he goes on and said, for you're yet carnal. Why is it, could he not go any further? You're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? He says a babe will always be in an environment around the playpen. I look at the spiritual playpen as a person, as a physical playpen as a babe. And they have no way in the world to deal. They always are in a kind of a circle of that which has to do with these things. As far as the flesh, they don't know how to handle it. They strike out. They react instead of act. These are things that babies do. And we know, we can see that for a child of God, or for a child that's born into a natural family in this life. And he said, for while one said, and he said, not only that, Paul, another one, Apollos, are you not carnal? You know, not only do you deal with those things, but you can't even begin to who you're following. Because sometimes, hey, I follow this man because he believes like I follow this man because he believes like I do. And next thing you know, you're following the person because of the man, not checking to see if the man is following God. And so here he gives us this layout. Now turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now watch. He gives this to, there's three phases here of people. The natural man, the spiritual man, and then he talks about the third phase, the carnal man. Now go with me and let's know in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, examine yourself. Talk to these same people at a different time. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate? In other words, are you true to your own faith? Test yourself. Use the scriptures as a testing ramp, that you and I are a testing point, that you and I can see, be sure of what we're involved in. Notice he says, no, are you true to your faith? You say you trust God? I'm talking to myself. I got this message up. All these questions I've asked myself. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? Now, a reprobate is a person who has a perverted mind that God cannot approve of. One who deals with one's own speculations about Jesus Christ rather than revelation. And they began to speculate about God because they can't grasp, as Paul said here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the spiritual things of God. And he said, you need to test yourself with the scriptures to where you're in or out. And God will show you where you're in and out. Watch. He said, but I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. In other words, does Christ live in you? I want you to know we have passed the test. He's talked about them. Does Christ live in you? Test yourself with the scriptures. And I trust you know that we're not reprobates. Why Paul says, he said, we have tested ourselves according to the word. And we know we're not reprobates. And you can have the same thing if you test yourself with the word of God and let God do that. So I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes on this subject. This is the test he wants us to test. Test yourself. Prove yourself. I believe it's a test this way when I look at chapter 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 14 and chapter 3 verse 1, 2, and 3. He's saying simply this, which one of the three kinds of these people in the scripture am I? The natural man, the spiritual man, the carnal man. Which one of the three are you? Test yourself. You have the scriptures. We can do that. And I'll tell you something, the most wonderful thing in the world, when you test yourself and find out that you have come at least, maybe some things you're not got together good, but you are together who Jesus Christ is. You are together who your Savior is. You can't be swayed on that when you test yourself along that line. A lot of times you have people, I read where there was a girl friend a guy was going with, and they've been going together for a little while, and one day she said to her boyfriend, she said, I want to ask you a question. Now, I want a sure answer. Am I pretty or am I ugly? And that fellow thought, man, Lord, how do I answer? He said, you're both. She said, what do you mean both? That's not an answer. He said, yes, it is. You explain that to me. He said, you're pretty ugly. Well, we don't want to get around that. We want to be sure. That might be better than just said he was pretty when she was ugly. I don't know, but I know this, that God is precise in what we do in this life. I read another story where a fellow said he won $3 million in the lottery. And he was so happy. And he was talking to a friend of his. He said, I want you to know I won $3 million in the lottery. And I gave a quarter of it back to a charity of my own. And his friend said, that's a wonderful thing to win that kind of money and give a quarter of it back to the charity. He said, it sure is. And just think, he said, I had $2,999,999.75 left. Amen. I hope you get more out of this than you got out of that. What am I saying? Where is he at? Where are we at testing ourselves? Which one of these are we in? We're always sorting people out. We're always signing people in different eras or categories of life. We call them the upper class. We call them the middle class. We call them the lower class. We call them professionalism. We call them laborers. We call them management. We call them skilled laborers. We talk about common laborers. We have different levels of friends, those we admire and wish we could be more like. We have those that we like to be around. Some we like to be around, but not as much as others. We categorize people in such a way that we find ourselves having different levels of friends that we admire, and those that we, again, that we call once in a while. We love to be just, there's some people, you know, I really like that person, but I like it maybe once in a while instead of a regular thing. There's some people have things that values to us in life just to be around them. I know that. But the Bible also sorts people out, and here's where we're seeing it happen here. He says there's three groups here. There's the natural group, there's the spiritual group, and there's the carnal group. Which group are you in? Which group are your friends in? Which group are your family members in? And we'll look at these three groups just a minute. Now, when I've got in this, I heard back years ago, and it come to mind, that a person said, I heard a preacher say, there is no such a thing as a carnal Christian. You're either saved or not saved. And he said, just like there's no such a thing as a sober alcoholic. And he was saying that if you're alcoholic, then you're not sober. If you're sober, you're sober, not alcoholic. But he says no such thing as a sober alcoholic. Well, I don't care how you word it. If a man's ever been an alcoholic and he's sober now, he's not an alcoholic. Alcoholic's one who's still drinking. That's the way I look at it. I know what he's trying to get across. The fact is that sometimes people say they're saved, and when they're not saved, and in turn are not what they call here as a carnal person. Because when one's born into the family of God, then they're saved and not saved. And I believe that. But isn't it an amazing thing? When I worked this 3 months ago, I said, Lord, I approach this, but the Bible says there's three classes of people here. We say they're saved and unsaved. The world's saved and unsaved. But here, when Paul was writing to the church, isn't it amazing? He's writing to the church at Corinth, the first thing that he mentioned about the carnal person. So what does it mean? Well, let's look at each one quick, and I'll run through it real fast. Like, first of all, the natural person is the one, Romans 3:23, all sin comes short of the glory of God. They've been born again. Romans 6:23 teaches us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The natural man is 1 Corinthians 2:14. He doesn't receive the things of God because they're foolish unto him. The natural man is when you go try to witness to him to start with, and you talk about being saved, he's so far from that, he thinks you're pushing your religion off on him, red or her, than actually giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't even know what the gospel is. She don't know what the gospel is. And so we have offenses there to some degree, but we know that the gospel is the only thing that can get them from where they're at naturally to become a spiritual child of God. And so we continue to do that. And so while we look at this, this natural person is a physical speaking person who is not saved. He is speaking physically when you talk about a natural person. And so these are those who do what comes naturally by instinct that's been born in this world. Everyone is born as a natural person. Everyone is equipped in this world with skills and abilities to survive. These don't have to be learned. In fact, you can just live. Now, we do learn a little by living, but you learn like you should to get along in life. You'll go to school. You'll do a lot of things other than just live. Won't you? I mean, you know nowadays, if you just want to be born and just go with the tide, yeah, we'll walk everywhere we go. This natural man is a person who's born physically, but he has no ties and wants no ties in the spiritual world for those who come around talking about it. I mean, everyone is born with a human body. Inside is a sin nature. Therefore, when a body dies, the soul and spirit is sent to hell unless that person is a child of God before they draw their last breath. That's Bible, folks. Even though today there's many who won't tell you that because they say in our age, that's just too hard. Our God is a loving God. I'm glad I know that God is a loving God. If not, we'd all be in hell. But I want to tell you, a loving God has prepared a way that we could live with him forever and be right in doing so. And the Bible teaches us the natural person just doesn't welcome spiritual things. They have no appreciation for them. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said, for the preaching of even the cross of Jesus Christ, and by the way, that's all the way a person ever gets saved. Even the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ is to them that perish foolishness. So we understand what draws a people to the Lamb of God. Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the cross of Christ. That is Jesus Christ who died and was buried. So the natural person doesn't understand anything Jesus came to do, and he doesn't see why Christians make so much a big thing about Jesus and the church. They're spiritually dead, yet they're physically alive. You remember me tell you not too long ago, I ran across a word that really gave me understanding about this. It is called concurrently. That is, they exist in two different exists at the same time. Two things existing at the same time in an individual. So here's a person that's spiritually dead before God, but physically alive before us. And they consist at the same time. And so in this particular case here, this person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And by the way, they like him as a person. They like to hear maybe stories about him. They like good stories. But on the other hand, they cannot see how one man could die and shed his blood, and we have what we call eternal life. So the world is full of natural people, blind to spiritual things, and for them to experience peace with God, they must be, like Jesus said in John chapter 3, born again. They have to be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit from God Almighty. And so when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, that person born again moves from that era of the natural man in this world, he was born as a sinner, now into the family of God as a heir of Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, of the things of God. Heir comes because of citizenship or because of families, in a family, member of a family. Rewards come from work. Heirs don't come from work. Heir comes because you're part of the family. Somebody else may have worked to get what you inherit. Help me out now. Amen. Rewards, though, is something God says, if you do, you get. But we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why? We are a part of the family if we came through the door and received Christ as a Savior. So there is a natural person, physically speaking, but there is also the spiritual person. Look at me in Ephesians chapter 2 and you'll see what I'm talking about as the Apostle Paul gives away this work. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, about verse 11, he said, "Wherefore remember that ye been in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ." Watch where we were at, ladies and gentlemen. We were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenant of promise. We had no hope, and we're without God in this world. That's where the natural man's at. It goes over ahead. But on the other hand, we were born in God. Watch the next verse. Verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Hey, man to that. Because the blood of Christ makes the difference. It moves us from one sphere to another sphere. Now the person who's been washed in that blood, even though we don't understand all about that, we believe that because God said that must happen, then we become a child of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, because now we are, what amazes me, and you heard me say this the other day, Jesus says in Hebrews, he's not afraid, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ never was where you and I were at. And he came to this world to get us out of the dumps of sin and put us into the family of God. We didn't deserve it. And yet on the other hand, now he said, "Listen to me, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother." And you heard me say the other day, when I say that, I have to say this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't refer to Christ as my brother because he's my Savior. But it means a lot to me to know that Jesus says, "Where I brought you from, you didn't deserve to be called my brother. But now I put you into where God has put you, into my body, spiritually speaking. I'm not ashamed." He didn't say that, you know, he didn't like to call us, but he said, "I'm not ashamed." Can you imagine the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, never sinned, from everlasting to everlasting, always existed, saying now, man, puny man as we are, and how man who is part of the human race, though our sins put him there, they actually killed him and did him like he did. Him saying that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. I tell you, we want to get on our knees and give him glory and honor and praise and say, "Lord God Almighty, I'll never get up until I'll never cease to give you." This, if the angels can stand around God and give him praise day in and day out as we understand, and give him holy, and that's all some of them do. Cry out, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," for that, forever, now and forever. If they can do that, and those angels have never known what it is to be created and lost and brought back again, thank God they didn't fall like the third part of Lucifer. But ladies and gentlemen, if they can do that, you and I, who came into this world and could headed towards the devil's hell, and God saved us from that, we ought to be giving him more glory than the angels. I'm talking about before we get to heaven. We're going to do it when we get to heaven. And so I move forward and I understand. He says, now we are sons of God. The spiritual person has been born twice. He's been born physically. And now, of course, through the spiritual birth, through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, makes him alive unto God. The spiritual person does spiritual things, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you look at that, you'll find in chapter 2, he talked about those spiritual things in verse 12 and 13. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to God. Before, as a natural man, we couldn't know those things. But now as a spiritual man, we can know those things. And he says this, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches concerning spiritual things with spiritual things. The Holy Spirit indwells the individual person spiritually and reveals to them and her the spiritual truths that comes from this book, which he's documented, which the natural man can never understand. In fact, he's not even interested in this book. Did you know that? Sometimes they say, I love to read it once in a while. Why? Well, you know, especially the Psalms seem pretty good. Hey, a natural man won't read the Psalms long if they listen to what David and them say. Because they're talking about a relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit reveals that. If a person gets in this book, I'll say this, if a person gets into this book and reads it much at all, the Holy Spirit's going to do something for them they didn't expect going to happen. Because this book's powerful. And it's the Word of God. And so outstanding characteristic of a spiritual person is that he or she is lived by the Spirit. So Christians are not people who decide to try to live a little better or turn up a new leaf. They're not people who are trying to radical change themselves. Inside there is a spiritual birth. God actually comes in and lives with them through his Holy Spirit. Christians don't slowly emerge by trying to change their lives. When they do, they'll fail. They're instantly changed by grace, for by grace are you saved. It's not reforming the old nature, but it's actual rebirth, being born into a new life, a spiritual person that the Holy Spirit moves in and lives in us. That's more than what religion can do for an individual. So the spiritual person learns from the Holy Spirit who dwells in us now, lives within that person. It's the Holy Spirit is like a light that lights up the spiritual person's mind to the things of God. And therefore, he or she can understand and apply that word to their lives if they obey God. The first obedience is, I believe that Christ is who God says he is, and I receive him. I obey God. If thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart God has given thee, thou shalt be saved. It's obedience to God. The spiritual person has a different value system now. He or she sees things differently, seeing things as Jesus would see them. He or she stands in front of the rest of the world, been different, for now they are indeed different in the fact that they are alive unto God and dead to sin. Concurrently again, before we were saved, we were spiritually dead, yet physically alive. Now, if you can say, I thank God, I know Jesus is my Savior, now we are spiritually alive, but listen to me, dead to sin. Sin don't have to dominate us anymore. Book of Romans, you read 6, 7, 8 on there, you especially 6 and 7, you'll find he talks about that we are dead to sin. It doesn't mean that sin is not there. It means it doesn't. He says, he puts it this way, it won't dominate your life anymore if you're a child of God. Why? You got someone to check it in here. And boy, he can do it. If you don't believe it sometime or another, I don't say do this because if you ever do this, you'll experience this. If you ever use the Lord's name in vain, I guarantee the Holy Spirit will prick your heart. He'll work on it, brother. He sure will. Why is that? Is it because we think that's it? No, if we got saved, it didn't matter. It's just another word. But now there's something to do that. And it makes us understand where we are and what we're doing as far as life is concerned. And so I understand what the natural man is. I understand now what the spiritual man is. But now, God, help me understand this carnal person. What is this about? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. And I really believe in studying this. A carnal person is one who has been born again, but he's still a babe in Christ. And you know this. If you have a person born physically that's a babe, and they stay a babe, even if they're in a playpen, they stay a babe. If they're 20 years old and have not the mind but a babe, they may be out here, but they're still playing around a playpen. They've not got enough instruction to know how to move out on their own. And we see people, sometimes special people that way. Mine is a blessed person here. More blessed to a Christian than some people who say they're saved. But he understands where he is, and yet I'll tell you this. How many times we said, Brother Ken, he'll pray for the choir. He'll say less than 10 words. And I believe sometime it comes from a heart that's more pure than us when we pray 20, 30, 40, 100 words. God sees his heart. But he understands the situation. There's just certain things he can do, and he can't do anything else. But we don't want to be, when we are born into the family of God, we have the chance to move forward to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing, when he gets to heaven one day, he's going to be a blessed thing over there too. Marty, bless your heart. I love you, buddy. So the carnal person. This is a very unusual kind of person. For this person started out like any other human being. He's born of the woman. He's born of the flesh. Also, he has all the natural resources and natural tendencies. Of course, sin is part of that in his nature. He's become a spiritual person by believing in Jesus Christ now. He's gone through that access. He has been born twice, born the second time. He has been born into the family of God through the Holy Spirit of God. And with God's Spirit, he stops there and he has the Spirit of God. But wait a minute. As a babe in Christ, he stops there. Or she stops there. It's like Paul talking to, or like the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 5 about a person being on the milk of the Word. When they should have been there a long period of time and should got off the milk of the Word so they could move out to use, be helped to somebody else in the meat of God's Word. Paul said, I need for me to go back and teach you the basic principles of a babe. Because you've not arrived to the point to get off the milk of God's Word. So the carnal person lives a spiritual defeated life. There are no spiritual victories. He or she does not have the ability to do what a mature Christian can do, but they think they do, but they're like babes. In a babe that way, in a child, you've got a little child even as a toddler, and he thinks he can do something mom and dad can't do. Try to get him not to do it. See, don't do it that way. Boy, don't tell me, right? You have children, you know what I'm talking about. Well, we as Christians babe sometimes do that. We may be 90 years old and still be a babe in Christ. We are. When it comes to spiritual things, we'll act like a spiritual babe or a physical babe. Because that God has given us this information in his word to test ourselves with. I mean, when you look at what is happening. This person cannot walk, cannot talk, or cannot work spiritually as of yet. Because they still don't understand anything but the milk of God's word. How many do you personally know who have attended churches, maybe service for many years, but they look and you talk to them, and it's not long. You say, boy, this person ain't grown a whole lot much. You're not criticizing. You just said, evaluate this. I mean, there's things about Jesus they don't even look at. What did they say? Well, they're saying, you know, I believe Jesus is the way of life, but there's bound to be another way because there's people who never heard his name, so there's bound to be another way. Baby, listen, folks, a man talks like that's a baby. You say, preacher, that's opinion. No, the Bible teaches us you can't be saved except through Jesus Christ. And I assume that a person don't know other way if they're saved, even if they're saved. And they think, well, I know I trusted Christ, but there's got to be another way. Sometimes I wonder, and you heard me say many times, if I trusted Christ as my Savior and there might be another way, I better be looking for it. Because I don't believe there's only one way to be saved. And I'm not looking for another Savior. I hadn't been working looking for another Savior for years. I've been trying my best, and I hope you have, to serve the one that I trusted years ago. And you find out, God helps us do that in this life. So the carnal person is also a very dependent person. He or she has had to be spoon-fed in regard to spiritual things. They can't teach or do anything else spiritually, or if they do, they quit pretty quick. They find themselves that they have to be taught and actually cannot be dependent upon a lot of things in church because they're not growing much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not been harassed. That's just letting us understand. Paul said, examine yourself. Listen, the only thing that matters in this life is what we do with God in this life. And so the carnal person is divisive. You look in 1 Corinthians 3, 3 through 7, you'll see that. They were arguing over who was the best and so forth. The carnal church was divided over little things. Little children fussing over their toys. They were willing to split the church over childish, immature issues like who was the best teacher, who was the best preacher. I'm a follower of Paul. He's over there. I'm a follower of, you know, of others. So what it had, Apollos and others. Yeah, thank you. I'm that different one and follow that. Well, good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you, those all those that they were following were followers of Christ. So it'd be much better if we'd be followers of Christ, wouldn't it? There's nothing wrong to have. I have mentors I've looked at in my life. I thank God. When God called me to preach, he's gone to Brother Shook. Heard me talking about Brother Shook. He, years ago, was an old, elder man. I remember the first time I went to him, he was sawing logs down in the woods, and I told him God had called me to preach. And when I went down there, he stopped what he was doing. There was a bunch of men working for him. He stopped what he was doing. I don't know, they cut the logs, if they were cutting for firewood or what. And he took me over to a stump. He just cut down a tree by that big. And we kneeled down around that stump, and he talked to me about service and many things. I never got over that. I remember that now. That happened many years ago before God ever called me to preach. So the carnal person is willing to himself to try to do things in his own energy without studying. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing you can take a carnal Christian and make him a better Christian is this book. And by the way, it's not just reading it. It's reading it and obeying. Anybody can read it. An unsaved person can read it and not understand it. But when we read it, we ought to say, Lord, teach me and help me know what I need to do. Lord, I don't know any of my talents. Please bring my talents out. Help me understand who I am before you, in turn that I may maximize myself until I get home on the other side. So the natural man is a human being that's born naturally in this world. He acts sin because he is a sinner. He has no interest in spiritual things. He will die separated from God unless he trusts Christ as Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that? At least let me know. Do you believe that a man who never trusts Christ as Savior will never go to heaven but end up in hell? That's the reason we got to reach him. Hey. Just because I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to say, well, let him go to hell. We got to say, Lord, help us reach him. We have no power but our tongue and the life we live before them. And the tongue is not to condemn, but the tongue is to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. So God can do the work because he's promised to do that. Then the spiritual person is the person that got saved. When you look at your day of salvation, rejoice in that. There are those who listen to the word of God, believe the word of God, and what God said, they allow the Spirit of God to guide them to a living knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when time came, they understood to reach out by faith to receive Christ as their Savior. They became a child of God. They became a spiritual person. You know what happened? They received a new heart, a new mind, a new nature, and a new identity. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful, folks. Not only did he just save us, he gave us a new nature. He gave us a new mind. We can have capacity, potential to learn things with like the mind of Christ. That's not blasphemy because you and I'll never be like he is. But we have potential to know God's will like Christ knew God's will for our lives. I may not know God's will for your God. Christ would know God's will for everybody's life because he was God. Now, I may not know everybody's will for will for people in general, but if you can know his will for your life, and in turn doing that, God will honor it. And so these are spiritual people, have a new heart, new mind, and a new identity. But the carnal person, these are those who like us. The spiritual person, they were born naturally, and now they've been born into the child of God. Spirit dwells in them. They receive a new spirit. But they stop at that point. They have never allowed the Holy Spirit to control their lives on a consistent basis over long periods of time and are still living by the human nature of ways. And when you look at this, and Paul gave this few words, but hid in the scriptures, putting together like we have, just this other place we could go to, poses how he said something here. How do I understand what he said here by comparing scripture with scripture? That's what he tells us over here on this side. He said, which things also we speak not in words of which man's wisdom teaches in chapter 2, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, what? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So the Bible becomes the best commentary we have. And so when he gives something over here, there'd be other places to help put that together so we can see the complete form of God's mind, at least more so than the world can see that. And so what happens, the natural person lives according to his or her own senses. The spiritual person lives according to the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. And hear this, and this is probably sums up for the carnal person, who could be possible saved, because the carnal person may look like an unsaved person sometimes, but I don't think he can get to the point that an unsaved person does, because if he's saved, the Holy Spirit's going to check him along the way, or check her. But the carnal person, ladies and gentlemen, where, go back again, the natural person is according to their, lives according to their senses and not saved. The spiritual person now is according to the Spirit, been awakened, been quickened, been made alive. But the carnal person lives in confusion over the two. Can you understand that? It's like a pendulum swinging one way or the other. Here's the saved person, and here the pendulum swings to the world, and it looks so not so bad, or swings this way. It depends your growth. And so the carnal person is saying, I'm saved, but they're confused. There's some people look like that who are unsaved look like they're saved. And there's some people who are saved look like they're not saved. How am I going to examine this? I can't. I got to examine myself. I got to use the scripture for that examination. Is this over your head? Is this something? Do you not understand that God has given us this book to study, to learn from, not just to give us the plan of salvation and say that's it? There's more to this book than the plan of salvation, though I'm glad it's there because I'm seeing something here. So when these three kinds of people, which of these are you and I in God's eyes? The natural person that's never been saved? Or the spiritual person that has been saved, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Or a person who received Christ as their Savior and became a babe, but it never got out of the spiritual playpen? You know what? I don't know for sure, but I'm not so sure that if I understand the fig tree that did not produce, and the person wanted to dig it up, and he said, no, don't dig it. Let the gardener do it again. Let's put some fertilizer to it, so to speak. Let's till around it. Let's cultivate the soil around it. Give it another year. If it doesn't produce then, we'll dig it up next year. Now, we never know where that tree produced or not. It doesn't tell us. But it could be that if a child of God who is carnal, and he's not doing anything in the sense for the glory of God. It could be sometimes. I'm not saying it. I don't know this, but it could be. The Lord may say, you know, cultivating the ground is not enough. Isn't that interesting? He said that about Israel through that tree. So sometimes, God help us to understand, I can't produce much, and I may not be as good as some people, and I don't have a good vocabulary, and I'm from Johnson County, from the sticks. I've been a farm boy raised up. I feel like Elijah sometimes just looking for someone or someone who's plowed a mule and God called him. I do that. But on the other hand, I know this. I examine myself. And the scriptures have proved to me, my heart, with all the problems I have, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And he will you. If he is, then some people said years ago, I'll never forget, and I'm through. I won't never forget when I went in and told the vice president, who was a Roman Catholic, that God had called me to preach. I didn't understand what I was going to do. And I'll never forget, he said, I don't understand it either, Charlie. He called me Charlie. He said, I know this, you got great potential here. And I told you about it. He showed me where he'd already plotted because that year my department did the best the company had in its history. And he said, you know, you can serve God and still work with us. Because I had been doing that, but not like I am now. And I believe with all my heart, it's a test. And only Barbara knows with God's help how much agony we went through, prayer, tears. You wouldn't even believe it if I'd tell you. And when I talk about somebody just bragging, God knows my heart's not bragging. Without him, I wouldn't have done it. But now, I look back and I don't know of anything in the world I'd rather do but all the heartaches. Ladies and gentlemen, it's worth to serve God. Believe me. Believe me. If you don't understand this, just remember this. When you stand before God one day and I stand before God and our works are tried and God shows us, I'm not going to be judged with you. You're not going to be judged by me. But when I stand there and you stand there, he will show us what we could have done and showed us what we did do. And it'll be us, nobody else. And when that day comes, you'll understand more what I'm saying right now. The only thing that matters in this life is to serve God. stand to your feet. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the message. Lord, I thank you for the test of the years, and now I study this again. And I believe, I don't know why you lead like you do, but I just believe you have to fall in line to do what God impresses your heart. It's so easy to preach a message like this morning. Lord, I thank you for that, the power felt. But then, Lord, this Bible also teaches things as a body of believers that, like on Sunday night, our people we hear, we need to know what you are saying to us. And I see Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He talked about the natural man, talked about the spiritual man. And then he says there's another group called carnal. In the next letter he wrote, he said, examine yourself. Don't you know your own self? Lest you be a reprobate. Lest you be organizing things in your own mind and say, God, I'm going to be pleased with this, rather than saying, Lord, am I, help me be what I need to be. It might be that, I would be where I'm at now in the business world, but be the man that God would have me be. And what I'm doing is a means to an end. It's not the end. Lord, I'm going to serve you. And that's the reason I know there's a lot of things that we have to do on our own, even though we get all the teaching. But we're always taught, our Father, in our daily devotion, taught our people, what you do for the glory of God. It doesn't matter where you work at, you do for the glory of God. If you do it for the glory of God, then people will notice they did Joseph, they did others in the scriptures. So whatever you do, just do for the glory of God. That'll make you a better worker. But you don't go beyond the limit of letting God be anything but first. And that's what this is teaching. Help someone see that tonight. Bless us together as a group of people who love you and serve you. And Father, help us develop, get out of the spiritual playpen. Let us learn here around this place to get out of the spiritual playpen. And there's where we find ourselves, as Isaiah of old, Lord, here am I. Send me. Help me. Lord, buses. Man, think of the people we'd be riding. We used to have 200 plus people riding on buses. We had 6 buses one time. Now, we got 2 going sitting. There's a lot of places. God has to touch people for that. And if he does, then that's the time to move. If he doesn't, then you get out of the bus business. But I thank you again tonight for the blessings of your word that teaches us, directs us, and even helps us apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.